Podcast. Hello and welcome to Three Peeps in a Podcast, the bonus show. It's FA Cup third round day at Ashton Gate, and we're through into the fifth round draw. Matt has informed me that we're actually doing the draw for the fourth and the fifth round tomorrow night. Is that correct, Matt?
Well, we're not doing it. I think they were going to go Robbie Savage again. I think they thought that we'd, you know, social distance and all of that. But I don't know why it is. But the fourth and fifth round draws take place tomorrow together. So,
We're in the fifth round draw. That's all we need to know.
Yeah,
tonight.
Exactly.
Matt, we've got a guest with us today, Matt. We've got the MD of Bristol City Short Sponsors of Nexus Group, Paul Archer. How are you, sir?
Good. Thanks for having me on. Honoured to be here, and we got there in the end.
it was very much we got there in the end, because it was a far from convincing display. The first half we looked semi-assured, but back to a few of the previous games, we looked a little bit ropey in the second half, couldn't string passes together, and Portsmouth came right back into the game and almost snatched it from us, really. Matt, let's go through our usual sort of lineup. We've got our thoughts on the starting 11, then we go through the game step by step, some of the key highlights, and then we'll go through our player ratings. So Matt, starting lineup, were you surprised to not see a chance for Max O'Leary to have a game?
Yeah, 100%. I think, especially now with COVID, I get from a league point of view, you're going to keep your number one, which is obviously Dan Bentley, but you've got to keep your other fringe players, happy as well with game time. There's no under 23s or very limited 23s football. So I thought it was an ideal opportunity for Max to be given a run out. That disappointed me, if I'm honest with you. I'd like to think Max would be knocking on Dean's door and saying, look, I'm not going to just sit here on the bench. Give me something. So, it was a bit
especially
of a waste of opportunity.
This is the first of three games in 6 days, especially with that in mind. And I know, obviously, Bentley hasn't played for 8 days. Yeah. So he's probably wanting a game himself. But, you've got to bear that in mind. And it's usually in seasons gone by, we've had the number two as the cup keeper,
the
haven't
cup.
We?
That's what most championship premiership teams or Premier League teams, do, isn't it? And you again, I know it's that balance, but you've got to try and keep your squad happy. And I think from a goalie especially, they're unlikely to get any kind of game time in the normal season unless your keeper suffers a bad run of form. So it was a surprise for me, that one.
Yeah. And Paul, coming to you, how good was it to see Alfie Mawson's name on the team sheet? It's not someone who, a week or two ago, we didn't expect to see him back for a while.
Yeah, it was good. What did he get? 80 minutes? 80-odd minutes in the end,
70,
I think,
yeah.
Yeah.
Good to see him back. I think just on the Bentley conversation as well, though, he made three.
Oh, yeah, don't get me wrong.
Especially at the end.
Yeah, Dean sat there now going, what are you talking about? That was the great move, wasn't it? But, you're right. You're absolutely spot on, Paul.
I think it's a valid point about bringing him in, though. Yeah. So, it was a good three or four match-winning saves, I think, from Bentley again.
The last touch of the game. He had a match-winning save.
Well, Mawson's an interesting one, though, Patch, isn't it? Because, like you said, no one expected it. And then to bring him in, and what did he, like Paul said, played sort of 60, 70 minutes, which was the right thing to do, was to give him some game time and then not play him. But what a difference he makes, I think, to that team. I think he even makes Kalas a better player alongside him.
They must be the two most laid back centre backs. I've ever seen. They just sort of walk around the pitch, know that they're going to win the ball.
We didn't look in any danger from the balls going in the box. You just felt with those two, and I love the way that Mawson brings the ball out. That's massive for the rest of our season. If he can stay fit, I think that's massive. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a big if as well, isn't it? With our
Of course it is.
Our track record.
Yeah.
Just quickly running through the rest of the team. Obviously, Adelican, we never really saw him in a City shirt that I can remember too much. And he's gone off on loan. He's done reasonably well at Hull. He's thrown straight back into the team. Matt, for you?
Yeah, I mean, I saw him funny enough, a couple of pre-seasons ago, I watched quite a few of the pre-season games, and I did like the look of him. He's obviously done reasonably well at Hull. Like any player at any club, you'll get fans that have said, we don't want him to go back to City. He's been brilliant. And there are other Hull fans that were saying, glad to see at the back of him. So it was interesting to see what we were going to get. And I thought he did okay. What I liked about him was he was keen to get the ball in the box. But it's a big step up. You know, even as well as Portsmouth played today, but the step up from League One to Championship is a big step up. So I hope he gets a run of games in the side, because a wide player needs that. So, you know, I hope
nice
this isn't...
It's nice to see, you know, even though Nicolaiasen was on the pitch.
Yeah, I know. That, well, I think I said to you that I couldn't get the FA player to start with. So I was listening to it on the radio, and I'm thinking, what's he talking about? Nicolaiasen? Have they signed Nicolaiasen? I've missed it. So,
yeah, no, even though we had him on the pitch, it was nice to see a winger, you know, on our team anyway. But so it just,
yeah, and some men playing extra, wide the other,
yeah, brings that different dynamic, doesn't it?
It does.
And a start for Famara Jiju. Your thoughts on that one, Paul? You know, I've been calling for him to start for a little bit, and I think when we spoke in the week, you were saying you see him as more of an impact man.
The first 15 minutes, I was sat watching, thinking I better take that back what I said to Patch, because he looked very much a Senegalese international centre forward for the first 10, 15 minutes. And then obviously that encapsulated with a beautiful finish and some great link up play. I was blown away first 10, 15 minutes, and then he went to sleep again.
Yeah. And I think most of them did, to be fair.
Talk about the game of two halves within a half, I think.
Yeah.
First 10, 15 minutes, I thought, that's it, 2-0, we'll breeze it, and then went to sleep. And first great 10, 15 minutes encapsulated by a great finish and great link-up play.
I think that's a key point, Paul, the link-up play. I think a lot of us wouldn't have put Martin and Dijou together, and actually that first 15-20 minutes, the link up front was really, really good, wasn't it? It makes you kind of think, I mean, unless I missed it, I don't think I did, he played the entire game, so obviously you'd think then his groin problem has now been solved, because, you know, he was there till the end. And I agree with what Paul's saying, but I also think there was an element that we stopped getting the ball into the front two as well. So it becomes very difficult. And neither Martin or Dijou are the sort of quick centre-forwards that are going to close the ball down and almost get into the play themselves, aren't they? They've got to have the ball played into them. So, but yeah, I think he showed... I mean, I can't remember too many finishes like that from Famara. I've got to be honest with you. And I know we'll talk about the goal, but... It kind of showed the importance of him, isn't it?
Absolutely. Let's before we come onto the game, obviously the game was today live on FA Player, which is the first time I think I've ever seen City live on the FA Player. And free as well. Obviously, you know, it opens it up to every fan, accessible to everyone with internet access and a phone, tablet, laptop, whatever. But it always... When we get these different commentators, it always opens the door for some interesting pronunciations of player names. So, that took a while bit to get used to. But, it always adds an interesting element.
It's funny, Patch. A friend of mine, Ali Scammell, who lives in Spain, she messaged me throughout it saying, I know what you're going to say on the podcast. It will all be about Bakinson and Nagy.
Bakinson, Nagy, Diadio.
Or whatever he called him, I think he had about half a dozen different names for Famara, didn't he, throughout?
He did. Right, so onto the game. 4 minutes in, so I've got some few notes here. Four minutes in, there was a booking for Adam Nagy, and I just thought that it didn't even look like a foul. Did you pick up on that, Matt?
Well, only via the radio, because I was about quarter of an hour in.
Sorry, you weren't watching, were you?
I'll come to Paul instead.
I'll come to Paul. Did you notice that one? I just thought it was a booking out of nothing, really. I didn't even see it as a foul.
There was a couple of decisions, I think, that were a bit ropey from the ref. It didn't look like a foul to me, I don't think, let alone a booking. So... Referee overall, I think, did okay, but there's a couple of occasions where he's obviously stopped the game where the Portsmouth players have gone down, I think, twice, two or three times. And in my eyes, you're supposed to stop the game if you think it's a head injury. And there's a couple of times where the players have just gone down and he stopped the run of play when he couldn't have. But I'm probably jumping ahead a little bit. But
no, but also, you know, you don't usually see a yellow card in the first 5 minutes unless it's like almost like a nasty tackle, really, or
a breakaway that sort of stops the play. And only from the radio, I kind of in my mind was thinking, well, that must have been what it was. He's pulled him back or broke it up or whatever.
Very strange.
And I think it then probably maybe goes some way to explain Naji's somewhat, you know, disappointing performance. Yeah. Maybe he just felt he's on a booking early on and he's got to be a bit careful with it. But yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Right. On to the seventh minute. There was a great 1-2 between Zizou and Martin. They were really sort of, as you say, working quite well together. But Martin got into the box and he just got a little bit too close to the keeper to get his shot away. Paul, obviously, I'll come to you because Matt didn't see that one. But it was good to see him linking and getting that chance quite early on.
Absolutely. I've got it written down here, seventh minute. And I think the only thing Martin, if I'm super hypercritical, should have done was put his head up and squared it instead of getting the goal.
Yeah, no, 100%. It was one of those ones where you just thought he could either dink this or square it, and he tried to just do neither and hit the keeper. But obviously, the keeper did well to come out and close that one down.
Again, it was encouraging though. After the first, after the goal and then the link, and then it's linked again, and you think, right, this is it.
Yeah.
But after chance.
How wrong we were.
they looked like they were a championship side and Portsmouth were a League One side for the first sort of half an hour, maybe even 40 minutes. And you just thought, we'll get a goal and we'll get another one and see this game out. Well, we got a goal on the 18th minute. It's a Backinson through ball to Fahmy, a neat 1-2 with the Delican. And Fahm, still with a fair bit to do, takes it round, knocks it to one side and left footed, bends it into the corner. Keeper got a touch, but great finish, Matt.
Yeah, brilliant. And actually, good little 1-2, like you said, with a Delican as well. But it was one of those, when you watched it back, the defender, and I think it might have been Chrissy Martin, kind of ran across the keeper. So Famara then had that option to bend it. And the keeper wasn't completely unsighted, but it was such a clean, lovely strike with his left foot as well, which was even more impressive. It was a really, really good quality goal, a good move and a great finish. And for me, highlights what Famara's capable of, and highlights the fact you cannot let a £5 million player like that walk out the door in January. Whatever's going on, whatever, they've got to tie him down. And if not, then almost, I would let him stay until the summer. If he's not going to sign a contract, I wouldn't take any money for him now, because I think you'll struggle to replace him. I'd almost rather he went for free in the summer than try and get, I don't know, a million or whatever for him now.
Yeah, you're looking at spending your best part of 10 million now to get a player anything like that, which is just us, the market we're in.
Yeah. I think there was some talk. I noticed Gregor put a tweet out, and I've not read all of it, about Connor Wickham. And I don't know if we've shown an interest or if that's a rumour or what. But
I've heard that a few times now.
The bloke's always injured, though. You know, he's always injured. He's not prolific. You want Famara, the first 20 minutes, 25 minutes, that's what he's capable of. That's what we've got to do. And questions need to be asked, and not just this, and perhaps touch on it at the end. Questions need to be asked about Mark Ashton and what's going on with that. Because that contract, Famara tweeted back in September, the sands of time, like what's-his-face did it, Aubameyang, and indicated that the contract was practically signed. We're still in the situation, doesn't seem to be any closer, does it?
Is that the same as when we practically got Chris Hughton and you had an interview, to do an interview about him signing?
Yeah,
did you hear that one, Paul? Yeah. So Matt was asked down to do an interview with a broadcaster. We won't say which one.
Oh, yeah.
But say, can you just pretend that Chris Hughton signed, because we can't get any film crews out to do it on a Saturday?
Yeah.
There's some confident footage somewhere.
Some footage somewhere. I'm going, this is brilliant. What a great signing. We've set our stall out.
Moving on with the game. 28th minute, Semenyo, Martin and Zizou linking up well. However, it was a pass from Semenyo to Martin was a bit heavy. And then the subsequent cross to Zizou wasn't quite accurate enough for Martin. But it was good to see those three working well together as well. I've been campaigning on the podcast now for a number of games to see two strikers and Semenyo sitting in behind and just seeing what he could do. And that was what he was doing. He was coming in a bit more and working quite well in a triangle, Paul.
Yeah, he looked lively, I think. Again, pockets of liveliness, and then it went off. But that particular link that we're talking about, I think Big Fam needed about an extra 3 inches on his neck and he would have put it away.
Yeah. It's one of them as well. If Martin had got the curl right on it, he could almost have scored because the keeper would have been waiting for the header, and you see them sort of tuck inside the post, don't you? But yeah, like you said, Patch, he just got pushed that little bit too far wide, didn't he, for it to be, you know, an opportunity. But Semenyo, I thought looked really good in these early stages, didn't he?
Yeah, and picked up a couple of fouls.
Yeah,
as well, I think, which were obvious fouls. He was too much for him at periods of time. I think it's a shame, dare I say it, that, you know, we couldn't, I mean, the second half, I know we'll go into it, but it's a shame we just couldn't keep that link-up play going and you know, the gap in midfield seemed to get wider as the first half went on a bit again.
Spot on,
Shape looked all right. Again, for the first 20 minutes, shape was there, link-up play was there, the chances were there, and the midfield shape seemed to go back to what it does.
We gave the ball away, didn't we, and it stopped. I think the problem you had as well is that you've got two fullbacks in Mariapa, who I thought again defensively was very good, but Tommy Rowe, but neither fullback kind of go beyond and get crosses in, so quite often we were getting the ball wide and then it was being knocked back again and you were losing the impetus and the sort of shape that you'd built. And Backinson got a bit sloppy in that middle period as well. Whereas in the first bit, he was on the ball, finding his pass. He then started reverting to what he's done the last few weeks, where he looks for that first time ball, but then gives it away. And then we're, you know, under pressure as a result.
There was a couple of free kicks in between in the next sort of 10, 15 minutes. Martin had the first one and Adelican had the second one. Two sort of new free kick takers, but both were pretty poor free kicks. I can never understand this. As a man with a left foot one like myself, I can never understand it when we hit the wall or don't at least test the keeper, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Martin seems to now, whether he's banging them in training, but he seems to be the one who's on free kicks. And that first one, it was almost like Beckham-esque, where he was trying to go the far side of the keeper. For me, and I used to say it as a coach, I was fortunate, my nephew, he really did have a left foot one, and he would take our free kicks. And I would say to him time and time again, if you don't hit the target, you're not scoring. So that is always in your mind, you hit the target. And then Adelican's was even worse, wasn't it? I mean, he just drove it straight into the wall, which as a professional, you know, you think, dear.
I was quite impressed with his sort of, you know, his lining up, his stepping sideways, a bit like Johnny Wilkinson.
Or Ronaldo, that whole,
That's pretty much right.
That's why he's been brought into the side, his free kick technique approach. Yeah.
A little bit of a goal from nothing, really, on the 46th minute. Portsmouth equalised, Callum Johnson. It was a rebounded clearance, a through ball and cross that found Johnson on the edge of the box. And their first real chance, and they equalise. And we go in at 1-1 with our sort of heads down a bit there, Paul.
Yeah, I was fuming. You could hear Holden on from the sideline saying, no foul, no foul, no foul. There's three bloody players around the ball. No foul, but bloody get the ball.
Yeah, tackle.
Kick it out. And then one of the three of you make the tackle. There's three of you around one player.
Yeah.
Lucky action. And then where was the defending?
Yeah.
I mean, what was his name? Callum Johnson came from nowhere. And
yeah.
I mean, it was an all right finish, but there was the closest player to him was 3 yards of Blake.
Well, he had the whole goal to aim at, really, and space.
Well, he had the whole one side, didn't he? Yeah,
space to sit down, have a cup of tea, and then score.
I think it came right on the 46th minute as well. You know, did. Minute of added time, and it's like, come on, lads, like don't make a foul, but make a bloody tackle.
I think that's the key thing, like Paul said there, and it was Nash. I'm not sure the other one was the other side. Well, there's two of them, weren't there? But it was just so, you know, that whole dangle your foot in and not kind of get. And it goes back to what I said about maybe the booking. He didn't want to, you know, wasn't forceful enough. But yes, all right, it broke a little bit fortunate for him. But even then, Callas was a little bit slow to sort of recognise that. Didn't stop the cross. Great cross back in. But then we switched off in terms of those two defenders, not then covering the line. Adelican had got drawn into the sort of centre of the goal and the ball being played back. Didn't know the bloke was behind him. And like, I mean, it was a good finish, but you know, if you're a professional footballer and you can't side foot a ball from 15, 20 yards to the hole of a goal, then something's wrong. So, you know, it was a tidy finish, but it wasn't difficult, was it? I just thought defensively it was really, really poor from us.
And that goal really did give Portsmouth hope, and it gave them the impetus coming into the second half. And, you know, Kenny Jackett has been around a number of years. He's got a lot of ideas of how to break teams down, and that seemed to happen. So came out second half. The notes I've got, the 53rd minute, I just wanted to talk about the air shot from Chris Martin. Yeah, that was quite impressive.
But there was some hell of a dummy.
Yeah, there was some really neat build-up play there, Paul.
Yeah, just before we go into the second half, I've made a note here. Obviously, VAR was in place for
Not today.
No. So,
right.
My humble research, VAR was in place if an FA Cup third round draw was played at a Premiership stadium.
Okay.
So, I know that, I think it was just before half time. There was after the replay, a handball or ball to hand situation.
Yeah.
But what's the point in having, like, surely the rules should be the same for everybody in the third round of the FA Cup, not just the teams in the Premier League.
Agreed.
And, you know, there was a red card that was quite rightly made back into a yellow card for Arsenal.
Yeah.
But, you know, if the FA Cup is ruled by the FA and governed by the FA, then surely it should be the same for all clubs.
Yeah, should be everything or nothing, shouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, the rules of the game at the moment, it looked for me, if that was a Premier League game and VAR went back to look at it, it would have been given a handball, it would have been a penalty, rather than then what Pompey going up the other side straight after and scoring.
The interesting thing as well, Paul, was that, so absolutely right in terms of the, you know, was it a penalty or not? But we then had the ball, the guy's gone down for a challenge and it was midriff. It wasn't a head injury. Yeah. So yet again, I thought that was the directive. The ref only stopped the play with a head injury. But we had the ball and he restarts the game and gives the ball to Pompey. And from that, they break and score. You know, I know there's obviously other bits in between that, but fundamentally, was it a penalty? And then secondly, should we have had the ball, you know, rather than Pompey? But yeah. But no, I totally agree. Totally agree with Paul.
Should be the same rule for him. I can't see them having VAR at Marine versus Spurs later.
No, exactly. They shouldn't have it at all then.
No, you're right.
Exactly. Well, coming into the second half then, as I said, that Pompey did have the sort of tail between their legs going into the 46th minute, and then they get the goal, come into the second half. 53rd minute, the air shot from Chris Martin would make me laugh a little bit, but there was some really good build-up play just before that, and as a result of the air shot, it eventually falls to Backinson, who shoots over, maybe leant back a bit too much, but you know, his shooting's gonna come, I'm sure. 60th minute, Tommy Rowe, a driven cross to Semenyo, who hits on target with power, the keeper saves. It was good to see Tommy Rowe get into the byline a few times, and that cross, you know, just shows that's something we've been missing for a while, and Semenyo gets it on target with power, Matt.
Yeah, Chris Martin gave him a bit of a talking to afterwards, but it was the middle of the goal. The only thing with it was that actually he did just hit it straight down the middle of the goal, didn't he? So it was quite a comfortable save from the keeper. But yeah, you know, I'm not going to criticise the lad. I think he worked it himself and I think he was fully entitled to take the shot. So yeah.
Yeah. Mawson came off in the 65th minute. So 65 minutes after no games for, what were we saying, 3 months? like that.
I think it's 11, 12 weeks. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
So, yeah, as we said at the start, he looked assured, looked chilled, looked like he, you know, hadn't been away from the game too long. And
he's just keeping him for Brentford, isn't he? He would have played the whole game from a, you know, a fitness or whatever, but he's going to just keep him for Brentford. So, yeah, that was great to get an hour's in his
no
legs.
No surprise at all to see him come off. Taylor Moore comes on. And at the same time, we had Adelican coming off, who again, you know, it's the first time we've seen him for a while. He has been playing football, but I think he was bringing Naki Wells on at that point just to add a bit more firepower. But brings Naki Wells on the right wing, and it just doesn't work for me. I really think that it should have been probably coming on for Chris Martin. Obviously, I know he went on to score, but I don't like to see Wells coming on the right, Paul.
No, I agree. I think there's a couple of times where, probably two or three times where I've watched Martin and the ball hasn't gone to him or he hasn't agreed with the play. And you can see, in my humble opinion, you can see him shaking his head and giving it the... I don't like to see players do that. Yeah, he scored a screamer, but, you know, the lads are doing the best. Wells shouldn't have come on where he did. But at the same time, I think Martin, like for me, you know, I played Sunday League, for Christ's sake. You know, I'm no Diego Maradona. And, you know, I used to do it. You moan, and even if you're just shaking your head, and, you know, we just talked about them when he had a word with Semenyo for taking a strike, which he was well entitled to take. It's like, mate, come on, don't shake your head. But then, you know, he shows his class and scores an absolute screamer. So, you know, if he'd been taken off and swapped with Wells, then, you know, there's lots of the sliding doors effect and what have you. But,
well, you could argue that Wells is quite capable of doing something similar if he's put in the right position. So,
I just felt, Patrick Paul, that by taking Adelican off, and again, you know, it's not as though he's not been playing, so there was nothing, there shouldn't have been any issue from a tiredness from his point of view, but it just changed our shape again. And I felt, you know, Wells, and he's getting a fair bit of stick, Wells, in social media about don't look interested, or, but he's not a winger, he's not a midfielder. So, you know, if you've played your entire career scoring goals in the middle of, you know, as a striker, and you're playing that position, you ain't going to be happy coming on. And I'm not going to, you know, you should still put in a performance. You should still, you know, and I'm absolutely total agreement with what Paul said there about Chris Martin. But I just felt that it was, in terms of the watching the game, and Dean Holding could turn around and go, well, yeah, but hang on, I didn't take Chris Martin off and look what happened. But up to that point, Martin was doing nothing in the second half. And we'll talk about the goal and what I'd said, Patch, at the time. But he was doing nothing.
He was giving the ball away as well.
Yeah, completely. And he looked really leggy. You know, the three of us are saying it. In the WhatsApp group we're on, Patch, you know, there was half a dozen people saying the same things as well. I just thought it was the wrong substitution. It changed the shape. And Pompey were well on top, you know, and there only looked one winner, didn't there, at that stage, really? We seemed really, I think, again, I put it in there, it was like a training game. I didn't feel we were offering any kind of threat. We didn't seem to know what we were doing. You know, we were giving the ball away again, and it turned into a pretty poor spectacle again second half, didn't it?
Yeah, it often happens when you bring players on not in a natural position, and you, like, so at some points in the previous game we've had four strikers on the pitch and you just don't quite know where they're playing, and not sure that they do either. So it causes that uncertainty, and you just see players getting dragged over to do a job that someone should be doing here, and someone dragged over there, and that's what it looked like for a good sort of 20 minutes, half an hour. Then Pompey came back into it, and on the 68th minute they had a few really good chances. One in particular tested Dan Bentley, and he made another great save. So they were coming into it. We then brought Naj off and brought Masenga on, and then shortly after that Backinson off and Viner on, and it wasn't until that moment that we sort of came back into the game. 81st minute, Viner comes on, looks like he's playing in a central midfield slot. And it was the best central midfield display we'd seen for, and it was only 10 minutes, but it was the best display we'd seen for a little while. But Backinson hasn't come back from his injury in the same vein that he went into it. Although we do see sort of shades of what he can do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Viner came on and for 10 minutes looked pretty good, Paul.
Well, he looked like he wanted it, didn't he? You're absolutely right. There was, like, it just looked look, if we compare it with cooking a dinner, we were bloody simmering.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he came on and then turned the heat up a bit. And that's what you want. And I think you're right with Backinson. There was shades of like dropping in, dropping back out of the game. I mean, like, oh, here he is, he's back, and then disappears again for a bit. But I think, you know, he's there, and I think he'll get there. And I think that's what, like you said, like the second half, it was a simmering display, and then a couple of changes lost the shape, and then got back to it, I think. And
if we're sticking with 4-4-2, then Viner doesn't get in ahead of Mawson and Baker. Sorry, Mawson and Callas.
Callas, yeah.
And maybe even Baker when he comes back. So are we looking to retrain him and put him more into a central midfield role? Because, you know, I know he came on and he would have played anywhere, but he looked like he could play there. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, I think he played there for a number of games for Aberdeen when he was on loan there. I think what he did when he came on, he played with energy. Yeah. Now, Backinson is one of those players that he's got that kind of languid, casual kind of approach. Yeah, and he's not, but that's the way that he kind of plays. You know, it's not. Whereas Viner came straight on and it was energy. It was got the ball, popped it, ran for it, made a tackle, put his leg in. You know, I actually was surprised he didn't start at right back today. I would have preferred to have seen him there than Mariappa, if I'm honest, because I think Viner's performances have been that good. He's unlucky that Mawson comes back in and he has to drop out. But that said, Mariappa was excellent defensively today. So, you know, again, it's probably one Dean got right, but I think Viner gives you an option that if Williams and Walsh are out until 2025, then it's an option, isn't it, for the next few seasons?
Yeah, 100%. And Viner had only been on the pitch 2 minutes when he fed the ball to Martin, who sort of he lost it momentarily, but it came back to him. And quite refreshingly, he just knocked it to one side and smashed it in the top corner. It's exactly what you want to see. You don't want to see all this pussyfooting around and trying to walk it into the net. Just smash it.
Yeah. You know, Paul, the funny thing was, Paul, I joined Patch's Zoom and we were watching the game together. And genuinely, as that play sort of took part, I went to Patch, Chris Martin has been absolute shh. And as I'm literally saying the S, he absolutely wangs it into the top corner. It couldn't have been better time, Patch, could it? It's almost like we were on delay and I said it, but literally I was like, he's been absolute what a goal!
Yeah, I know, absolutely, absolutely flew in. And we've never really tried doing that with Robin's TV. It was just the fact that I was watching it on my laptop and not on my TV. I thought share the screen here. That was good, and maybe something we can experiment with in the future. But the game sort of fizzled out a little bit there. No real team were going for it more Pompey, if anybody, and it was the last minute, last kick of the game where Dan Bentley had to make a really good save, and that was the last kick of the game. And fair play to Portsmouth, they came and they played well, they were in the game a lot. We sort of bossed the first half overall, I'd say, and the second half was more about them. But I think 2-1, just about a fair result in my book. What was your sort of summary of the game, Paul?
Yeah, I think first 10, 15 minutes, we showed the difference in class and levels. I think we went to sleep for considerable amounts of time during the game. I think the stats were 50-50 possession. I think we were more or less, I think we might have been one goal shot on goal ahead. But I think if you look at the two goals, probably epitomises the difference in class. I mean, two quality finishes. We've nicked a result again when we probably should have. I think if we hadn't gone to sleep for 40 minutes in the second or 35 minutes in the second half, I think, and not rest on our laurels after the first 10-15 minutes, we should have gone probably 2-0 up, probably put the game to bed a bit. It was a lot of nearly moments, but I think we deserve to go through, and I think we need it. I think it'll be a good morale booster. I'll certainly be watching the fourth and fifth round draw with Tenterhooks, hoping we get a good draw for the fourth round, or even a good draw for the fifth round, to give us some motivation to win the fourth round.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because at the start of the season, when you had the League Cup and we had lots of players fit, it was the League Cup served as a chance to give some players a game. Now we are bare bones and players starting to come back, like with Mawson, coming back, and Baker not too far away, I think. It's almost like, we're almost setting ourselves up to be able to have those extra games. Matt, what are your thoughts on what I'm saying there?
Yeah, no, I think it goes back to the point about Max O'Leary. I think it's really important when you've got a big squad, I don't know when the next round is, but it's likely to be, another sort of 2, 3, 4 weeks or so. So you'd hope that we will get a few more players back. Casey Palmer should be back available. Sessegnon was sort of on the grass. I did see a tweet from someone yesterday saying that both Joe Williams and Liam Walsh were actually on the grass. We could be in a stage where in sort of end of Jan, start of Feb, we could have the majority of the squad again. And then it becomes really important that you have got a cup run, because you keep then those players fit and interested and playing, isn't it? So,
well, and also the two Edwards boys, and also Callum Pring coming back as well. Whether they get some game time or not, but they'll certainly be helped to get some game time if we get through to the fourth, fifth round. The fourth round's on the 23rd of January, fifth round on the 10th of February. So not far away. Yeah. That's a month today. So it's every 2 weeks by the looks of it. Matt, take us through your segment now. We're going to go through and talk about player ratings. Paul, and for those listeners who haven't listened before, 6 is they've done their job. Obviously more than 6, they've excelled. And less than 6, as we've had numerous times in past weeks.
Yeah.
But Matt, over to you.
And as I've tended to do as well, I do always have a look to see what Greg has done from a live Bristol Live point of view. And again, accepting the fact that he's doing it there and so can't kind of think about it, can't talk about it like we're doing. But just out of interest, the headline for the players' ratings is magnificent. Bristol City player ratings is Robins dump Portsmouth from the FA Cup.
Dump.
But magnificent. So I'm hoping that that's the headline writer. Dan Bentley couldn't have done anything with the goal. I think he made certainly two really, really good saves in the second half. That one at the death. So for me, I'm probably going to give Dan an 8 on the back of that, because really he keeps us in it from that point of view. He keeps us going through. So yeah, I'm going 8 for Dan Bentley on that.
Yeah.
Mariappa is a bit of a difficult one for me. So I think in terms of defensively, I think he was absolutely a 6, maybe arguably even a 7. Going forward, I don't think he gives us enough going forward. And that's not his game, to be fair to him. But quite often today, he got to the halfway line. And even beyond that, there was a patch in the second half where he didn't seem to know what to do with it, couldn't play a ball in. So we ended up going back with it again. And I get a little bit frustrated with that. And I suppose I've been lucky enough that I've been brought up with the likes of a Mickey Bell, the likes of a Joe Bryan, the likes of a Darren Barnard. So you like to see your fullbacks going beyond crossing and everything else. So definitely a 6, but I wouldn't argue against a 7 from that point of view. Because like I said, I think he did well defensively, but I'm going to go 6 from an overall point of view.
Yeah, no challenge from me on that.
Okay. Callas, I thought, was again kind of back to his best or up there like he has been. I thought he looked really, really comfortable alongside Mawson. I'm probably going to do both of those together. I'd give both a 7. And again, the reason being, I think Callas got a little bit caught with the goal. I think the guy to get to the byline and put a cross in, and then we didn't cover back in. For me, both of those, I thought they were above what I'd have expected, and I'd give 7 for both of those.
Yeah, no, it was great to see them back, and if they both stay fit and keep that development going and that relationship, that just adds backbone to the team, doesn't it? And it's going to enable us to push on, and we just need to sort out what's in front of them, really.
Yeah. And then on the other side, Tommy Rowe, again, he did well defensively. I don't think he got beaten too many times, but again didn't do enough going forward for me, so I would give him a six. I don't think he was worthy of any more than the six, but then I also, if someone said to me he was slightly below par, again I wouldn't lose any sleep over arguing with it, but for me it was probably a six, what I would expect.
No, I'm happy with the six. It was great to see him get forward a few times as well. Just proves that he's got that in his locker, but you know, he's still playing out of position, really, isn't he? We've spoken to numerous people and they've all said he should be playing in midfield. Whether he gets that opportunity with us or not, I don't know, but he's again filling in.
So
happy with that.
Tyreek, I'm going to give a six. Again, in and out. He did some really good things, did some things that he needs to still work on, but not enough for me to kind of mark him down too much. So yeah, I'd give Tyreek a six.
Did give the ball away a few times. I was expecting you to say five, to be honest, because we know what he can do. There was
one moment in the second half that he gave the ball away really cheaply that could have led to a right on the edge of the box as well. And I think the thing with him, and I don't know if I know we've said it, Patrick, I don't know if Paul agrees, but I like the fact that he's got that forward thought in his mind. And again, maybe from an experience point of view, and he's quite young in terms of his game sort of time, but he plays that intricate pass or that forward pass in dangerous areas sometimes and gets caught out with it. And he did today. He tried to play one round the corner, didn't make it, and they then broke and they were into the box. And I think Taylor Moore had to make a really good tackle.
It's one thing forcing it, and sometimes we do need to force it, but it's knowing when not to. And I think, as you say, that will come. Paul, I don't know what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I think on occasions when I saw a few close-ups of his face, he looked like he was lacking a bit of confidence. When you start forcing something, it ain't going to happen.
And
I agree with the rating. I think, you know, there's a bit of a trend occurring here with dropping in and dropping out.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, he was probably one of the worst for it. And given you can't forgive someone for giving the ball away, especially when there's an easy ball to play.
Yeah. Well, I happily take a five on that. I think that's fair shape. And then Adam Nash or Nagy or Najar or whatever you want to call him. I thought it was one of his poorer games in terms of his influence on the game. I thought, again, that early booking probably had a bit of an impact, but a couple of times he gave the ball away. So on the same basis, I would probably go five for Adam as well, in terms of, again, you've got to look at the opposition as well as Portsmouth are doing, but you've also got to look at the player and know what he's capable of doing. And I think Adam Nash, that was a below par performance for Adam Nash today. So yeah, five for me.
Yeah. It's one of those ones where the fact we were giving Backinson a five, I thought Backinson was better than Nash. So is,
did you? Well, there you go then.
Is he a high five and Nash is a low five?
And then we've got Adelakun. So I think he didn't probably get enough of the ball. There were a couple of good sort of moments from him, obviously linked up with the goal. I like the fact there were a couple of times where the ball came out to him and he just put a first-time cross in. There was one where Backinson didn't quite anticipate the deflection from the header and it kind of went wide. So I thought he did okay. Did he have enough of an influence and do enough on it? I don't know. And I'm going to be generous and give him a six, but on the basis of it's his first game back in a Championship side, albeit it's in the Cup.
It's kind of League One team.
He's stepping up a level in terms of the players that are with him as well. So, he's probably, if he's played like that in 6-7 games time, I'd be saying it's a five. But I think just giving the benefit today that, you know, he was trying. And I like the fact he was trying to put the crosses in. And I think it gave us a better shape today.
He whipped one in really well in the first half, towards the end of the first half.
Yeah.
And what I liked, it was just exciting to see something different. We haven't seen a winger for however long it's been.
Yeah.
A long time. And it just added that sort of, you know, that different element. And I always get excited when players come back, like new players to the team and players returning come back and they almost play without instruction, and sometimes that can be better because they haven't got the shackles on, like Masengo when he joined.
It was
just good to refreshing to see. But yeah, I think six fair.
Okay, and then we've got the forward players in terms of Antoine, Chris Martin, Famara. Goals aside, from both Martin and Famara, did they then do enough to warrant an eight? Probably not for me. So I'm going seven, probably for all three. And the reason I've kind of, even with Antoine, again, probably end product perspective as well, I thought he was probably our most threatening player again. Mm. And again, I wouldn't argue if anybody wanted to give an eight to any of those three. But for me, I think all of them were probably above a level because of the goals. But I don't think they were any more than a seven, those three.
I'd be happy with sevens, but I wouldn't be happy with Martin getting the same. I would drop Martin down to a six.
Yeah, okay.
Even though he scored that goal, he probably would have been.
No,
a five.
I think that's fair shout. And actually, what Paul said earlier on, some of his body language, attitude, into, especially with a player like Antoine Semenyo, he's got a Scottish international there in Martin, a Premier League player. Martin should be encouraging, you know, and he should with that shot. Yeah, all right, you know, any of us have played, if you're in a position where you think you're better placed and you know, you should have had the ball. But he could take him aside and sort of say about it. Or so, yeah, and I actually, Patch, yeah, in hindsight, I think you're right. So probably six for Martin and seven for the other two.
Yeah, because I think he would have been on a five and that goal knocked him up to a six.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, I think that's everyone, isn't it? And,
and now,
from the last game, we started rating Dean, didn't we?
We did, didn't we? Yeah. I'm not going any more. Yeah, I'm not going any more than a six. I think he could probably turn around and say he got the big calls right in terms of keeping Martin on, not starting with Max O'Leary. You know, Paul's point about how well Dan Bentley played, but actually, I thought again the substitutions changed our shape. We didn't. I don't know what plan we've got sometimes. It always feels a bit that we throw forwards onto the pitch, but not in their right positions. And it's more, exactly that. Paul sort
it's
of
a bit like, it's a bit like me when I play Championship Manager in years gone by. Just throw all the strikers on and surely one of them will score.
Yeah, I suppose again, you know, I looked at it and you've got... certainly Sam Bell was, I didn't see the starting line, the bench. So I don't know if Sam Pearson was on there as well, but you know, with 20 minutes to go, Sam Bell could have been given a run around, Opie Edwards was probably that. And that's the strange one, to bring Wells on for a Delican when you could have put Edwards there, could have taken Martin off and brought Wells on. And then you still keep your structure and your shape.
Yeah.
It's almost like he's kind of going, right, I know I've got to get Naki on. Right, where can I put him? Right, okay, we can put him on there and bring him there. And it's like, well, no, you want to keep your shape and your planning. And let's be fair about it. You know, Portsmouth, Dan Bentley had to make an absolute cracking save right at the death. And if we go into extra time in that game, you do kind of worry. And then if it's penalties, that's a lottery, isn't it? It's anybody. So, yeah, for me, it was a six and still a little bit the Dean needs to get better at what he's doing plan-wise. And when things aren't working, maybe making a change a little bit earlier. But I will give him credit. You know, the Viner move into midfield, I thought that looked really good. But was that a little bit, that's worked out, you know, who knows?
Well, we've got a big game coming up on Wednesday, away at Brentford, which was a game that, you know, I was hoping to be able to go to. I think we all were looking forward to going to Brentford's new ground, the community stadium. Mm. But that's not going to happen until at least next year, depending on where we are and where they are. But it's going to be an interesting one for team selection. We've obviously got Cam Pring to add into the mix. I don't know if we've got Casey Palmer to add into the mix. I don't know if he's out of isolation or what. Do you know?
He won't have been, will he? It's 14 days, so no, he won't be.
Okay, so we've got basically the team that's available to us today, plus Cam Pring.
And probably Jack Hunt. I don't know. I didn't see in terms of selection. Hunt obviously went on the bench, so you would think probably Hunt just an extra couple of days, because I think that injury on his shin sort of open, or his ankle opened up. So, yeah, I think it is worth what we've got, isn't it? Yeah.
So it's a different proposition, really, Brentford away compared to Portsmouth at home in the FA Cup. What do you see, Paul, in terms of formation, personnel, anything? So no. Oh,
that's a million-dollar question, isn't it?
Damage limitation, is it? Or
I don't know. For me, just the midfield, the shape needs to stay in the midfield. And I think we've all talked about it today, and we've all seen that the rest of the season. At times, there just seems to be a massive gap between the boys up front and midfield, and keeping the shape. So if we can get 70 minutes out of Pham with the same 10 minutes he played today, I'd start with him up front.
But would you have Pham and Wells, or would you have Pham and Martin? I'd go Pham and Wells personally, even though they did work well.
Yeah, I think so. I think he deserves a start again, Wells. I think he's come on again today out of position. I think he deserves a start to show what he can do.
Mm. I think he'll go for Mara and Martin again. I don't think he'll change that. I'd be surprised again. There might be other things in there, but yeah, possibly Viner in there.
Maybe.
Just for that energy.
Look up front, they were miles apart.
Yeah, they were. You're spot on.
Miles apart. And I'm going, is Martin on the left wing?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Close, because at times, let's play the ball on, get a flick on from Pham, and someone bloody running behind the defence.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing.
Like Semenya was swapping with him sometimes.
Yeah. You got to bear in mind as well that the way Brentford play, I don't necessarily think it's going to be a hammer or anything like that. I think our game we can more than match Brentford, but they're a good side. We've got to be absolutely bang on it in centre midfield. You can't afford to have a casual Tyreek playing in there from that point of view. He's got to be completely focused. And then from a fullback point of view, they're going to have to be doing a lot of defending as well as going forward. So I think that's why Jack Hunt will come back in. The Tommy Rowe one will be interesting. I mean, Tommy Rowe's going to start. Of course he is. He's not going to chuck Cam Pring in sort of, up against it Brentford, is he? But make no two ways about it. Brentford are a very, very good side, as we all know. And what I like about them is once season on season, the last 4 or 5 years, you know what you're going to get from a Brentford team. They play really good football. They've got a striker in absolute world form in Tony. The only thing is, I think, is it Josh De Silva, their fullback, wingback? He got sent off, didn't he, against Spurs? And I don't know if it was a straight red in the cup in the week or if it was a booking or not. So he might still be out. So that gives us a little bit. But, we've got to go there and take the game to them. You can't allow Brentford. It can't be a defensive performance like we did at Cardiff where we just invite them on, because Brentford are good enough. They will break you down. No two ways about it. Mm.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
Well, my dinner gong has gone. Sunday roast is waiting, so best go. But thank you very much to Paul for joining us. Paul will be speaking to you on the regular show to talk a bit more about the Nexus Group and what you guys offer in the very near future. But for now, thanks for joining us on the bonus show. And Matt, we will speak again on Wednesday night.
Yep.
Take care. Thanks,
Paul.
Everyone.
Nice to speak to you, mate. Take care.
Yeah, cheers, guys. Bye.
See you, guys.
White walls, the feeling of home, warm smiles, a crash and burn, and the wheels keep spinning round and around and around. It's time you can find the wonder what love means, what love is. It's time you can find the wonder. We'll be right back. Chancer's the throat of a general.